You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, welcome to the Hockey Show. My name is Roy Bellamy. David Jork is to my left over there. He works for the Hockey News. And now I will face this camera right here because this is my solo shot. The Florida Panthers have two games left. Two games left, and then
finally,
we hit the playoffs. It's about damn time.
We've almost gotten there.
We almost got there. Right now, we are looking at them with a one-point deficit on the Boston Bruins. I mean, they still have an outside chance of winning the division.
Well, do you want them to win the division? Because that means they're going to probably most definitely play Tampa in the first round.
And?
Vasilevsky.
Oh. Okay, well, what are you going to do?
That's where it starts and stops for me. Because that's a guy who, you know, of any goalie in the league that you're going to be scared of in the playoffs, he's the guy who he can take over a series, he can take over, you know, an entire playoff. We've seen him do it.
That would be the only reason why the Tampa Bay Lightning would beat the Florida Panthers in the first round, would be because of Vasilevskiy.
Yeah, that's basically the reason that they'd beat anybody at this point. Like, they've got a decent team, but when their goaltender is playing, when he's Vezina Vasi, as I like to call him, like, they're damn near unbeatable.
All right, well, as I always say, I want that smoke. Bring on that smoke. The Panthers have won three out of the last four, and those three have been shutouts.
Oof,
it's been
love
a
that.
Combination between Bob and Stolarz. It's been excellent goaltending for those three. Even the Boston loss, it was, I mean, mistakes plagued them in that one, but it was a very good four-game stretch for the Panthers.
Yeah, you have to be happy, especially when you think about how the previous couple of weeks had gone, where they couldn't put together a full 60-minute game. They'd come out to a lead, and then they would blow it. They'd fall behind early, and then they would try to come back, but they couldn't. They couldn't seem to get a full 60 minutes together, so it's nice to see them kind of getting back into form, getting back with the way they defend is what's really impressed me, Roy, because you mentioned the shutouts. The way that this team defends, it's not a defenseman thing. They're a five-man unit, and the way that they've been doing it, again, over the last few weeks, as they got away from it a little bit, but they really seem to be back on the same page, and I guess you just have to breathe a sigh of relief because the playoffs are, what, 9 days away, 8 days away?
Mm-hmm.
It's the 12th right now. So, yeah, man, let's go.
The situation with the Boston loss in overtime, it happened on a Oliver Ekman loss in turnover. And he ended up with the day off against Ottawa, where the Panthers won 2-0. But he came back in the 4-0 win against Columbus and got two assists. It was a pretty good game by Oliver.
Yeah, he's been so solid all throughout the year. I mean, we talked about him on the last show when he was the Masterson nominee. But Oliver Ekman-Larsson, like, that was a little surprising, I'll be honest with you, when I saw him out for overtime in the Boston game, because it was him, it was Lundell, and it was someone else for a defensive zone start, and that's kind of how the whole shift began. They went to the offensive zone, a little flubber at the blue line. But, you know, overall, you've got to be happy with OEL, because that's a guy who, like, lately with Aaron Ekblad been out, he's taken over that top pairing with Gus Forsling and done just fine. The defensive numbers are there. And the offensive numbers, like you said, he had two assists last night. I think he's had three or four games this season where he's had two assists. So, and again, for what? What they signed him for? Like $2.5 million for the year?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be happy with OEL. I'm just curious to see what happens with him this summer, because I think he's earned himself a pretty decent payday somewhere.
Sam Reinhart, 54th goal last night. We can move on past that. That man's been excellent all season. But I want to point out a highlight now. I know you enjoyed this one in the Ottawa game. Anthony Stolarz's his pass to Anton Lundell. From basically the bottom of the faceoff circle to the other blue line, it hit tape to tape on Lundell's stick, and he ended up with a partial breakaway and scored on that one. That was an excellent pass and an excellent goal.
It's not just the goalie assist. It's a goalie primary assist. And those are rare. And this is something I've talked to Stolarz about a couple of times throughout the year, is just the stick handling, because he's so good at it. And it helps that he's like 6 foot a million, and he's got these arms that are as long as our bodies. And obviously that helps. But he's put in a lot of work with his puck handling. Like, we talked about the difference between being palm down over palm up, getting that strength, getting that torque on the stick. And he takes a lot of pride in what he does. And that was just perfect timing, perfect pass, as he said, tape to tape, and Lundell did not make a mistake.
And the Panthers have a magic number of 1 point. They play Buffalo on Saturday, and they play the Toronto Maple Leafs on Tuesday. That 1 point guarantees them second place in the Atlantic Division and possibly a matchup with Toronto. But, I mean, if they win the next two and maybe Boston falters, they could possibly win the division. And as you said, would lead to a matchup with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Whether you want that or not, it will definitely be a good matchup. Either one of these opponents, it'll be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I think with this Panthers team, like the way that they've built themselves up this year, they're not going to be a matchup type team. That teams are going to have to match up to them, and the way they play is what we've seen all season. And I think Paul Maurice said it best, I think it was last week he said it, where if you start trying to put yourself in a situation where you want to play a certain team, you try to finagle your playoff positioning to go a certain way, it very rarely ends well for you. They should just play it out, play their best hockey, let the chips fall where they may. They're confident in their abilities, and I think that's what we're going to see happen.
You have a major gripe with how the playoff system works in the National Hockey League. What's going on?
I'm not the only one. I mean, it's ridiculous, and it's really pissing me off this year more than past year. We used to have the 1-8.
Yeah.
You get the 1 seed versus the 8 seed, the 2 seed versus the 7 seed. It was very simple, and it made sense, because if you play well enough to be a 1 seed or a 2 seed, you should be rewarded with playing the lower seeds. That's how sports playoffs work.
I mean, they used to have a divisional playoff just like they have now prior to the 1-8.
Yes.
But
when they had the old Adams division, the Smythe division, and all those.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. They already fixed it once, and it was great, and it was awesome. And it was like last year, the Panthers were the 8 seed, and they played the 1 seed, and that's how it should have happened. Well, last year was a bit of an anomaly in this new system. Like this year, you've got, just looking at the standing, the three worst team playoff teams, the Islanders, the Lightning, and the Penguins.
Yeah. Okay.
The Penguins are probably, as it stands right now, you have the Capitals and the Red Wings and the Flyers and all that, but whatever. Those are the worst three playoff teams. They should be playing the three best playoff teams, but instead, you're going to have Florida play either Florida's gonna play Toronto. Like unless Florida overcomes Boston, Florida's gonna play Toronto.
Right,
that's fine. Roy,
you are pissed off about this, David. I mean, good lord.
I feel like they tried to fix something that didn't need to be fixed, and every year that passes by, it's upsetting me more and more. It's almost like the continuity elements in the Mighty Ducks trilogy that we were talking about out there that we can get into another time. But it's just something that picks at my brain, and it just more and more and more and more. And I'm over it. I feel like it's getting a lot of attention in the media right now, as it should. And hopefully the league, I don't know if they can, will. I'm just tired of this. Like, and I don't think the players like it either. I don't know why they changed it to the, I get why they changed the divisions around. I don't get why they had to change the playoffs around. It was fine how it was.
So if it's not broken, don't break it.
Yeah.
Well, apparently it's broken according to Dave.
Yeah.
So let's go over the standings right now. As we mentioned, the Atlantic Division.
Standings.
Yeah, let's go over the broken standings. We mentioned the Atlantic Division already. The Metropolitan Division. There is a outside chance that the Hurricanes could catch the New York Rangers for top of the Metro Division. The Hurricanes have a game at hand on the Rangers. The Rangers have 110 points, while the Hurricanes have 107. So that spot is pretty much up for grabs. They are tied right now in regulation wins. So we're looking at games played, and after that, we're going to end up looking at regulation wins.
It's a very top-heavy division, though, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a 20.
It's also bottom heavy as well.
Well, I was gonna say, bottom heavy is the correct term. But yeah, there's the Carolina and the Rangers at the top, and then there's like a 20-point drop off.
Yeah.
Between Carolina and the Islanders, like what's going? And that just kind of goes back to my point on the playoff seedings. Like, get it right.
And the Islanders right now at 89 points, I think.
Yes.
I think that's pretty much done. Third place in the Metro, but that wild card situation at 2. The Penguins have 86 points. The Capitals, Red Wings, and Flyers have 85 points. I think the Flyers is too little too late for them. They have played 80 games so far, and they have 29 regulation wins. So yeah. That's
the Flyers had a win out, bad. Basically.
Yeah, they got a win out.
But it's going to be fun because all these teams are playing each other. Like all the teams, like the top 10 teams, top 11 teams in the Eastern Conference, are all playing each other over the next couple of days. So we got a lot of fun hockey coming up.
Yeah, and then the Capitals with a bad loss against Buffalo, and the Penguins slipping by the Red Wings, who did not deserve that deserve that point in overtime. The Red Wings did not deserve that point. They should have lost in regulation, but that's neither here or there. But right now, the Penguins own the second spot in the East wild card. Over in the Western Conference, if you look at the Central Division right now, the Jets and Avalanche are tied at 104 points. Both of them have 79 games played. The Jets have more regulation wins right now. That's an interesting matchup right now. They can flip. And right now, just based on regulation wins, the Jets, they have home ice right now.
Yeah, and they're playing better right now. I think they've won, what is it? They've won 5 in a row right now. The Jets are starting to get back to the defensive roots of their season that had them such a good team for the first half of the year. They were such a good defensive team. I think they're starting to get back to that, you know, working with Connor Hellebuck a little bit more. This Colorado is a scary team. And then when you see like what Nathan MacKinnon did with the hat trick he had the other night, he is so explosive. I'm excited. I'm just looking at the standings. Like, I'm just so pumped to see the playoffs come out. Like, Dallas, are they the juggernaut that we kind of thought they might be? Jake Ottinger is a beast, one of the few goaltenders that could really carry you through a playoff series. And I don't know. That Pacific Division, I think, is they're just going to beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah, the Pacific Division right now, the third place spot belongs to the Los Angeles Kings with 95 points. They are back.
They're back.
Chasing them is Vegas with 92 points. But right now, Vegas has a whole different thing that they got to worry about because the second wild card spot is on the line as well, and the Blues are catching up to them.
The Blues have won 2 straight, and Vegas has lost 3 straight. Now they're separated by, what is it, 3 points, Roy?
Yeah.
And they both have 3 games. No, I think the Blues have 3 left, and I think Vegas is 4 left.
Yeah, the Blues have played 79 games, and Vegas has played 78. Yes, so they got the game in hand.
Is it crazy that Vegas, we were on the ice with them with the Stanley Cup, you know, less than a year ago, and now they might not even make the playoffs if they keep sliding the way they have?
And the way they started the season.
Yeah.
Like, all those wins at the beginning of the season may have saved their playoff hopes.
Yeah, if not for that crazy start, they'd be out of it by now.
Yeah, so, it's right now it's exciting right now. This is going to come down to the last day of the season.
Yeah, as it should.
Yeah, so exciting times right now. So coming up next, we have Jeff Remmer, who is going to retire.
So excited to talk to Jeff Remmer.
Yeah, we grew up watching this man do play-by-play.
Sparkling save by Van Beesbrouck.
Spectacular individual effort. He was doing games with Denny Potvin for, 9 years?
Yeah, from 93 to 03-04.
Yeah, so we grew up with this guy. I mean, we're both 40-year-olds, and the Panthers came into the league in 1993, so that would have made me 9 years old, and you're a little older than I am. So having this guy, being able to talk to him, like, it was pretty special, and we talked to him earlier, and we're going to play this interview, and that's coming up next. For the past 30 years, this man has brought TV play-by-play into the homes of Capitals fans, Panthers fans, and Blue Jackets fans. For the past 20 years, it's been the Blue Jackets. It's Jeff Remmer, who's riding off into the sunset now. He is retiring after this season. And before we get to how we feel about him as Panthers fans and get into his career, I just want to know, Jeff, what exactly happened in the altercation that you had with Pete Rose?
The altercation I had with who?
Pete Rose, the baseball player.
Oh, boy. long story, but I'll cut it down as quick as I can here.
Okay.
And we go back to 1984, and at the conclusion of the 1983 season, coincidentally, a spot that I would go to in 1984, of course, was Baltimore, but preceding my move there, the Montreal Expos in the early 80s had outstanding teams. They had Carter, they had Dawson, they had Tim Raines, they had Tim Wallach.
Yeah.
Just go right down the list. Pitching-wise, Jeff Reardon in relief, Steve Rogers the starter. So it was a young team, it was a good team, but they could never get to that next level. What they needed was some leadership, a veteran, a guy that's been there. So Pete Rose was released by the Phillies after Baltimore won the World Series in 83. And I called Pete and I said, Pete, I think you're the guy. You are the guy that can get the Expos over the top. And he said, great, what do I have to do? I said, well, I do the Hot Stove Show every week. I want you to be a guest. Absolutely, he said. Mm-hmm. So Pete would come on Wednesday nights and say, hey, don't judge me by my birth certificate. I can get it done. This Expos team is a team that's on the threshold of winning. I'd love to be part of it. Well, the owner, Charles Brofman, who coincidentally also owned the radio TV station,
right,
said that despite what Rimmer says, we are not signing Pete Rose. Well, I can tell you the exact time. It was January the 19th, 1984, mm-hmm. and Pete Rose was signed by the Montreal Expos. We became instant buddies. Things were great in spring training. We get to the early part of the regular season, and his former teammate in Cincinnati, the Big Red Machine, Doug Flynn, wasn't a big fan of mine because I would say all the time that Rodney Scott should play second base ahead of him. Rodney, a great leadoff hitter. He could steal bases, and it was strictly a situation where Rodney Scott was a better second baseman. Mm-hmm. Well, Pete, of course, took Doug Flynn's side, and it was a particular game on a Thursday night against the Pirates. Flynn goes in as a defensive replacement after demanding to be played or traded. After the game, he makes two errors, and Pete Rose starts ripping me, saying I'm the most negative guy that he'd ever talked to.
Oh, no.
Well, fast forward, Rose denied really saying the things that he said about me, saying things were kind of taken out of context. So I said, Pete, I'm going to do a commentary tonight. I won't be taken out of context. Well, he had the players in the clubhouse at 6 o'clock with a game time of 7:05 listening, listening to me. And I did my commentary. Of course, I didn't rip Rose. It was more talking about Doug Flynn. After the game, I do my show from the restaurant on a Friday night in Salon 76 at Olympic Stadium. And Pete tells all the players he's calling me live on the radio. Oh. Sure enough, he calls through and demanded I apologize. I said, apologize for what? He said, well, you're trying to ruin my reputation with the players and with the fans. I said, no. Come to Saturday, where the NBC game of the week, again, continuing a series against the Pirates. After the game, I go in to do my post-game commentary and questions for the players. I walk up to Pete's locker, and I hand him a cassette, and I said, Pete, you listen to this, you tell me where I'm ripping you. Well, he stood up, grabbed me. I wasn't going to let him hit me because I'd have been put into the next stratosphere. And he rips my shirt. All of a sudden, it's bedlam in the clubhouse. In walks John McHale, the president. And he starts yelling at Bill Verdon, how can this happen in the clubhouse? Jeff Rimmer is one of our biggest ambassadors, yada, yada, yada. Our ownership then decides to have a meeting on Sunday at Olympic Stadium in the owner's suite. Pete apologizes and said he only did it to kind of rally the team. He knew how many of the guys that I was very close with and actually friends with, and he determined that that was a way to rally the team, which was kind of strange. A couple of years later, well, several years later, actually, we're in Vegas to play the Golden Knights. I take my broadcast partner, Jody Shelley, and we find Pete, who's signing autographs somewhere in Vegas at a casino, and we walk in, and Jody says, yeah, Jeff tells me all the stories. Pete says, without batting an eyelash, he says, whatever Rimmer told you is 100% true.
Yeah.
There you have.
That's amazing. That's a hell of a story.
As short form as I can tell it.
Oh, my God. I have so many follow-up questions, but we don't have a lot of time, so I want to get into the hockey stuff here. Jeff, obviously, fans down here in South Florida are very familiar with you, the original Panthers broadcaster. As Roy mentioned, we both grew up listening to you, big fans. I just want to ask you, when you think of the Miami Arena, amazing building down here for hockey fans. but some great memories. So when you think of the old Miami Arena, like, what are some of your fondest memories that come to mind from those early Panthers years?
Well, one of my fondest memories, period, any time in my career looking back, was that Stanley Cup final with Colorado and just the amazing play of John Van Beesbrook. Of course, it all got set up by Bill Lindsay's big goal. Yes. To get by Boston. And I still can see vividly Lindsay coming down the wing, getting by and just blowing by Ray Bourque and scoring what proved to be the clinching goal in the series. Loved going to the Miami Arena. It was a very compact arena, as you well know, and seeing a complete sellout each and every game that the Panthers played in that building. Of course, a lot of memories about Scott Mellenby and Brian Scrutland and John Van Beesbrook and Dave Lowry go right through the team. And, of course, the celebrated rat trick by Scott Mellenby, yes, who, by the way, has called me. He had intended to come to Columbus for the celebration here a couple of weeks ago, but did tell me he couldn't make it because his daughter had their first grandchild in Philadelphia, young Courtney, who I've known since birth. But he does intend to come to my final game, which, of course, next Tuesday against Carolina.
That's awesome.
One of the more amazing feats, and this officially makes this, to me, you being the hardest working man in hockey, you were able to split time to call Capitals games and Panthers games in the Panthers' inaugural season. How were you able to pull that off?
Well, I had conflicts. When the Panthers approached me about doing their games and working with Dennis Potvin, they asked me to send my schedule. That particular year, I was just doing the road games on DC 20. So it was 20 games on 20 plus playoffs. When I sent my schedule to Dean Jordan, who headed up the broadcasting side and, of course, the business side of the Panthers at the time, said, wow, that's great. We only have three conflicts. So I missed the three games. I did 30 of the 33 games for the Panthers because they did a limited schedule then, but I was able to do each and every game. It was terrific for me because I would literally go from St. Louis and one snowstorm one time to Pittsburgh to catch a plane with the New York Islanders because it was going to be a Panthers-Islander game. They couldn't play until the Islanders made their way back from Pittsburgh. And that was one night Al Arbor offered me a flight and actually got me a hotel room to stay with the team in Pittsburgh and make that game. That probably was the closest call, but it was just a great, great season, the inaugural year of the Panthers and doing the Capitals game. I did almost run into a problem late in the season because David Poile, then the general manager of the Capitals, called me into his office and he said, okay, Jeff, what are you going to do? Because if you remember it, in that inaugural season, the Panthers almost made it to the postseason. And David Poile wanted to know if both teams played in the Stanley Cup playoffs, which team's games would I do? And I was kind of reluctant to give him an answer, but the Panthers kind of fell off towards the end. Capitals were the only team of the two to make the playoffs. So it was a simple solution, and I was able to do the Capitals games in that postseason year.
So, Jeff, I read that you are pretty good friends with Michael Bublé. And then I read that you've actually got quite a few famous friends that you've made over the years, including you have a Miami Dolphins connection because you're friends also with Larry King.
Yeah.
So very cool. But how did you manage to have such a, I guess outreach that went
like a vast network?
Yeah, that went so far beyond just hockey guys. And granted, there's so many awesome people in hockey. But the fact that you've got so many friends outside of the game as well. I mean, it's a testament, I guess, to what a friendly person that you are.
Well, let me put it this way. Hockey is such a great game, and I've done all the major sports, as you know. But there's a special for me and for hockey fans who are so loyal, and they are different than, for me, any other group. And just meeting people that loved hockey, you mentioned Michael Bublé. He is a huge Vancouver Canucks and hockey fan. And, of course, he has a number of different hockey pools that he's in. So he likes to pick my brain on certain players before he makes some of his draft picks. And actually, it was my son, Josh, who was involved with Bublé. And he said, let's get your dad involved. And Bublé and I kind of hit it off. And we would talk from time to time. He had his own opinions about the Blue Jackets and what was wrong. We talked about the Florida Panthers, obviously, and their terrific play here in recent seasons. So it's just something that I kind of developed in baseball. I was very, very close with Cal Ripken. He was a huge hockey fan, grew up, obviously, he and Billy in Maryland. They lived and grew up in Aberdeen, Maryland, which was actually a part of the Philadelphia Flyers television market, and they were big Flyer fans. Also, they loved to play hockey because what would happen in the old Memorial Stadium before Camden Yards, They used to call me after the morning sports report, and they say, "Hey, Jeff, get over here. We're playing hockey in the visiting clubhouse." So, yeah,
that's awesome.
That's true. And Cal had a great congratulatory message for me, and I can tell you very quickly a story there. Cal was not, and this was before the streak, was not really hitting very well, but he was playing every inning of every game. I got a phone call on the postgame show one night about, I'd say 10 to midnight. I'm going to wrap up at midnight. This guy started ripping me up one side and down the other and said, "You're just how did he refer to me? He said, "You're just an apologist for the Ripken family. Why don't you just change your name from Jeff Rimmer to Jeff Ripken?" Well, wouldn't you know, the next day I go to the clubhouse, Cal calls me over and he hands me a bat and it says to Jeff Ripken Rimmer, my long lost brother.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Finally,
so I guess, you know, hockey transcends for me, just the hockey fans of hockey. And, for me, it's just been a great ride, and I love every minute of it.
Finally, now that you're calling a career, I just want to know what are you going to do? Are you going to hang out with the grandchildren? Are you going to play more golf? Are you going to go fishing? Are you going to stay in Columbus in the summer and come down here in Florida during the winter? What are you going to do?
I'm going to live in Florida permanently. That's number one.
That's it.
Smart man.
I'll be here in Florida, and I look forward to spending time at games, obviously. I'll be seeing you guys at the arena. I'll be cheering on the Panthers, and I'll be playing some golf. And I'm also been approached by an agent to perhaps get involved in doing some consulting, because I'd love to help young broadcasters along the way. I've had the great fortune of being in a terrific business. I've never worked a day in my life, as far as I'm concerned, and I want to help some other people along the way.
That's excellent, Jeff. It's been a fantastic career, and we're just so happy that we were able to get a little bit of piece of that career down here in Florida. Jeff Rimmer joining us today. Thank you for joining us.
Anytime, guys.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.